Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I'm training every day. It was for the Janet interview.
Janet, people.
Janet Jackson. True story. So sometimes you don't know, like, when you're on the blacktop playing basketball, playing for game 7 of the NBA Finals. I stopped myself and 2018-ish, and I'm like, am I taking this extra drink because I want to take this extra drink, or am I taking this extra drink to try to numb something? Because I had the insight to deal with it.
Right.
Somebody might just keep numbing.
Speaking about the mixtapes, I wanted to see if you guys were the originators of this new term we always say, YNs, because you had a mixtape with Migos called YRN, Young Rich Niggas. So I'm like, hold up. Were they the actual originators of YN?
Man, listen, and rest in peace, Takeoff, man. I think the Migos.
The Highest Point Podcast.
More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.
Yo. Welcome to the Highest Point Podcast. This is a show for everyone who's willing to put in the labor to be greater, to reach the highest point. Now, speaking about putting in the work, we got a very, very special guest in the building. I'm talking about we have a pioneer, a trap music professor. Legendary DJ, radio, and podcast host who is literally the epitome of longevity, making his mark in each era in different ways. I'd like to welcome none other than DJ Scream. What's good with you, my brother?
Good, man. Who wrote that? ChatGPT?
Oh, no, sir. That's all me.
That's you.
That's all me.
I appreciate that, man. It's a good way to start the day.
Yeah, man. It's just facts, man. I just seen so much that you do, and on this show, we like to focus in on the journey of people, because a lot of times people see this finished product and think that thing happened overnight.
Yep.
And no, sir, no way in the world it happened overnight.
Still working.
Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of ups and downs in the journey, and we like to talk about those things on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wanted to ask you, can you tell the people, you know, where you from and what was your family dynamics growing up?
Oh, man, I've been everywhere, man. Father was African. My mom was from Montgomery, Alabama. They actually met in New York in a record store, right? How ironic. And basically, that's the essence of, like, my family. You got, like, African tradition, African morals and everything here on one side. And then on the other side, you got that good down south morals and tradition mixed with civil rights and struggle and everything like that. So that all meshed right here in Atlanta, Decatur, Atlanta, whatever you want to say. And that upbringing was one of coming up in Atlanta, and then my parents decided they wanted to go to New York, but they didn't really want to raise me in New York when they got there. Like, nah, we don't know if we want to raise them in New York. But while I was there for this small period of time, I got exposed to hip hop, and I remember being like, I don't know, maybe your first memory is 4 or 5 years old, and I'm looking, and I'm like, they're spraying graffiti everywhere, they're spinning on their head. Who are these crazy people, right?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But I always just had an interest in it. So when I came back, we came back down to Atlanta, that's the era of, like, Your Own TV Raps, you know what I'm saying? And even some of the local Atlanta music shows, like American Rap Maker, shouts out to Arnell Star and all that. And, man, I just always had an infatuation for not necessarily the people in the front of the videos.
Right.
What they doing back there? It's kind of being nosy, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
What Jazzy Jeff, Premier, like, the people behind them, like, I'm looking at them. It was just something.
Right.
So, longer story made short, man, I just became like a music head, which I was kind of born into it because my mom listened to jazz religiously. My father listened to reggae religiously. So, you know, every weekend morning I'm hearing like the record players, the snap, crackle, pop in some type of vinyl or record. So I'm over there playing with the record. So I always kind of say I was kind of like purposely born into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, people be like, you made that up for your bio. Nah, my parents met in a record store in New York City, like two story. So it's just kind of like something that by the time I actually got turntables,
right,
and then I put them in front of me and put records, I've heard people say this about basketball and other crafts, I felt at home.
Wow.
It was just like this sense of calm and peace. Even to this day, if I'm stressed out, if I get behind, you'll never see me like angry behind turntables, unless I'm in the club getting harassed by somebody. Right. But that's another thing. But you'll never see me like angry when I'm in the act of DJing or behind turntables. That's my peace.
Yeah, absolutely. That's dope, man. Now, with you having that first vision of hip hop in New York, kind of what was the difference when you came to an area like Atlanta?
That's a great question. You know, New York was, and I'm in the heart of where it started. We're in the Bronx.
Oh.
So down here, see, what I understand now is that coming down here, if they were breakdancing up there, they was ticking down here.
Ticking.
You see what I'm saying? If they was if they had ciphers up there, here somebody beat on the table. I was one of them too.
For sure.
And then they rap. You see what I'm saying? That's their cipher. I don't know too much about, well, there is some graffiti in Atlanta. If you talk, go through the elements. Their DJs rock out one way. They put R&B music over hip hop, right? Beats. We put R&B music over booty shake. So what I kind of know now, I didn't really know then.
Right.
I was just experiencing it, is that it's all the same. And then there's a synonymous, like, even when we talk about the streets, man, there's a synonymous slang word everywhere you go is just a different word. It means the same thing.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Like, money or skrilly, skrilla, or fatty, or paper, or dough, or cheese. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what I've known, what I just learned just traveling the world, even when I went overseas, is like, part of my French, like, yo, it's all the same shit.
Yeah. This got maybe sound different, got a different term.
But it's the same hoods, the same struggles, the same political BS, the same, you know what I'm saying? There's YNs everywhere. There's,
it sure is.
Like, it's,
that's how I be feeling with religion too, man. It's like, it got so many parallels. Why y'all got beef? Y'all really preaching about the same thing.
Because, man, I've been on this thing, and it's probably a never-ending journey. Read a lot of Deepak Chopra around COVID and a lot of Eastern philosophy. And me personally, everybody has their own opinion. I think the culprit to all our issues is ego. And I've been attacking my ego. I'm not a big egotistical person as it is, but I still have an ego. We all do.
Absolutely.
And there is a time and place for it. But the thing is, like, if you get rid of that ego, become free, because now you don't care. Now you don't care about other people.
Right.
Now you don't care what other people think about you.
Right.
You're able to just soar freely. So I think that anything you're talking about, religious division, political division, everything, we all want the same thing. If we really sit back and think about it, that's peace.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and when you're talking about ego, it's like, I feel like your temperament has always been kind of even keel. You know, it seemed like you always could handle yourself under pressure. And then we start talking about your mom and your pop's background. I'm like, okay, that sounds like that got a lot to do with it as well. But I did want to ask you as well, though, even having a good temperament, we all come to crossroads in life. You know what I'm saying? Can you reflect back on your youth when you were presented in a crossroad situation? Which way did you go and why?
I get presented with them every day. Youth.
Yeah.
You know, when you...
Kind of like a pivotal moment.
Well, when you... man, I was blessed to live, like, I keep it real. Like, I was blessed to live through my childhood in upper middle class neighborhoods. But I even say I was blessed to live right over there on Ashby in the West End in the hood hearing gunshots.
Yeah.
So I was blessed to see both sides of it. That's what people like to say, blessed. Nah, because I think that you need to see that it all exists. Think about that person in the Hollywood Hills that's never seen any adversity.
Right.
When adversity comes, this is why they crack.
Absolutely.
They never been through it. So I've been through, we good, we in this nice crib, we good, to, hey, there's an eviction notice on the door. I've been through all that. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I say that just to say, for me, the crossroad was in those times of not having so much. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, I got homies, and the homies is like, yo, you know, you ain't got to be broke. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so we can get it out here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, man, that sounds real good. But my mama said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that foundation.
You know what I'm saying? And then the whole full circle of that is, and again, the peace, man, behind them turntables, I always just had this voice in the spirit telling me, just keep doing that. You're going to be all right.
Yeah.
And when I think about those turntables and 1994, 20 years of DJ Scream last year in 2024. When I think about those turntables, man, I mean, I had a moment last year. I mean, these turntables and took me to Canada, Africa,
wow,
Paris, the islands, every island you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to go to Asia right before COVID happened. Hopefully that'll come back around.
Right.
Probably not going to go to Australia because the flight is too damn long,
mm,
but who knows? But it's taken me around most of the world, definitely the United States. I think I've been to every state except four of them.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people can't say that.
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking back to the crossroad, it's just something always told me. I still know when it's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. I get that voice. I meditate a lot. And then I know when it's like, well, you might have some adversity, but you got to push through it and stay in faith. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I've always listened to that voice and been smart enough to listen to that voice even since I was young.
Yeah. But, you know, we always had those two voices. You know what I'm
saying?
Oh,
yeah, the other voices. You have that. Man, like, we can get some money now real quick.
Right, right. And it's a struggle sometimes to not listen to that one, because a lot of times that other voice is that quick and easy way.
Yeah.
You know, when you listen to that voice where you can have longevity, it's like, mm-hmm, stay in the course, like, mm-hmm, you were just talking about. And I think that's very important. And another reason why we do this show, man, so people can really, you know, tap into people who has traveled these roads, mm-hmm, you know, been where they are, seen the ups and downs. And so, like, look, this is how you need to navigate if you're looking for longevity. Like you, like I said in the intro, you're the epitome of longevity. I've seen you pivot and do so many different things. How do you time? It seems like your timing is always right, too. Like,
it ain't always. I appreciate it.
Like, what is it? Like, are you looking scared of the scene? Like,
well, I pray a lot.
Mm.
God first. That's the first thing. In addition to that, actually, like, reading Deepak Chopra, the law of less effort.
Mm.
Least effort, I should say.
Okay.
And that's when it's like, if you're trying to make it happen so hard and it's not happening and it ain't flowing, then it creates that, this is supposed to happen now. I'm the best rapper, or I'm this or this. But it's just like, man, I respect the timing, because I've had some amazing things happen at, mm-hmm, the wrong time.
Oh, wow.
And it's like,
what does that look like?
It looked like having your best moment and maybe not being ready for it. Ooh. That doesn't mean like take for instance.
Okay.
You do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if I leave out here and they say Barack Obama's going to come do an interview,
mm-hmm,
you're ready. You're going to do it. Ooh, but she's like, damn, if I would have had a different light or, man.
100%.
Or if I would have, you know what I'm saying? So my thing is, I want those moments now. That's one of my biggest prayers. Like, please let them happen when I can not only execute them well, but like perfectly.
Oh, that's so
you
true.
Dig what I'm saying?
Man,
I've had those moments. Like, as a media person, I was ready for the Janet interview.
Mm.
I'm training every day. And sometimes I'm like, why am I doing all these interviews? Some of these people ain't even talking about nothing.
Right.
But it was for the Janet interview. Because nobody took me serious in media to the Janet interview.
Janet, people.
Janet Jackson. True story. So sometimes you don't know, like, when you're on the blacktop playing basketball, playing for game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Facts.
But you got a treat. So every interview, I'm treating it like Janet.
Ooh.
I'm not coming in there BSing because you're not Janet.
Right.
I'm doing my work. I'm doing my research. I'm doing this. They be like, how you know that?
Right.
I forgot about that. Because I'm here to do my job.
Right.
You never know who looking or who paying attention. So I say that just to say, man, when they say patience is a virtue and waiting for the right moment, that's so important.
Yeah.
Because if it comes prematurely, then it's funny. Like, God, it's funny. Mm-hmm. So God, like, all right, I got you.
Yeah,
absolutely. Use the opportunity so you can mess it up or right. not execute to the highest of, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Your ability. So that's the way I kind of look at it. And I just go with the flow of time.
Yeah.
That's why it looks the way it does. Cause yeah. I'm not saying I don't try. I hustle every day.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to make nothing happen before it's supposed to happen or if it's not supposed to happen.
Yeah. You trust the process.
Have to.
Now, man, this Janet thing is just, how does Janet Jackson come across your table? Like,
I got a call. I thought I was being catfished and pranked and everything with it. She was in town.
Okay.
So it was like, yo, Janet wants to do like DJ Screen Hood Rich Radio. Like she wants
wow.
to. We pitched it to her. She's like, I want to do something like that. I'm like,
imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
All right, whatever. What time I got to be there? They're like 7 a.m. I'll be there at 5.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
Since Janet Jackson's coming. Yeah, right. But I'll just tell the story. It's just funny, man. Like, of course, her security came in. This is Janet Jackson. Mm-hmm. So they have to sweep the room and check. Yeah. I'm like, they pat me down. Like, I get it. I'm not offended.
Right, you know right.
Saying? And then after that, it's like Janet walks in. And then this is like, the air, just the energy changes.
Oh,
I'm not even exaggerating, bro. Like, I could tell you a few people we've done interviews like that, but like the energy just changes.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry I'm late. Oh, I'm so sorry, you guys. DJ, I'm like, you can't be late.
Right.
You're Janet Jackson.
Right.
And she was early, but maybe they told her another time, so she wasn't really late. So that was surreal, and the interview was classic, and it had a big viral moments and everything. And then when I took the picture with her, I was like, Janet, can I ask you a question? And then she was like, sure, anything, DJ Screw.
Don't say my name like that.
Right. Mom, you know, say like, Janet knows DJ Screw. I was like, any advice you give to somebody like me? She was like, you're doing a great job. Just keep doing it. That's all I needed to hear. Wow. Really, some of the biggest people you have conversations with, keep it real simple.
Right.
And that's what I'm learning. Like, even some of the most successful people in any journey, they keep it real simple. Don't overthink it.
Yeah. Because we can complicate things.
The human mind can complicate a lot. But yeah. You know what is really complicated?
What's that?
The ego.
Again, it boils down to ego a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you navigate the anxiousness when it's such a big artist comes in and sucks the air out the room? Like, or do you feel anxiousness or anxiety?
Because I don't look at myself like celebrity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I had a dude like shaking at the gas station before, like, oh man, bro. I'm like, right. Bro, I got the same bills as you, bro. Like, chill. Like,
right, right.
You know what I'm saying? But I know that they're human.
Yeah.
I toured the world with the biggest people, been in the room with the biggest people, millionaires, damn right. billionaires, whatever. And again, like a lot of them keep it real simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they're human. And I have very well-off, wealthy friends that call me and they need help.
Right.
Regardless of how much money. It's like, bro, I need common person help here.
Right.
I'm like, man, more money, more problems, right? But it just goes to show you that they're human. And if you start to treat celebrities per se like they're not human, then that's when they start to act weird. And like, you're right. Weird. Like,
yeah,
I'm human, you know?
That's true. That is very true. I'm definitely going to take that advice as well. Because sometimes, I don't know if it's just normal, because I used to be an artist as well, and then I pivoted to podcasting. But, you know, you have that little anxiety before you get on the stage. But then when you get up there, you straight.
I think you got to separate anxiety from adrenaline. I still get adrenaline when it's time to go.
Yeah.
Like, when we doing the big facts and it's one of the ones, or we on stage, I still get that adrenaline.
That's
you're adrenaline. Right.
Anxiety
and fear is like a different feeling. They come from the same place.
Yeah. But we just hear anxiety so much, man. We just think everything is anxiety.
Yeah, you start to bottle up everything as anxiety, but everything is not, everything doesn't come from a anxious or fearful place. It's right. Like, there's no way you can be going doing the thing that you envisioned and dreamed of your whole life and not have some feeling.
Right.
Unless you're just emotionless.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Absolutely. Now, we all know that you are a legendary DJ. You don't work with Outkast, Migos, Jeezy. So many people. Now, I did also want to understand through your journey, with you working with so many others, and it seemed like you helped so many others' careers, was it anyone that took you under their wing to help you in your DJing career or radio or podcasting? Like, where do you get, who was your OG? Who was DJ Scream OG?
Well, with DJing, there was, when I wanted to learn how to DJ, there was a DJ in my neighborhood. Shouts to him, named DJ Nino. And it was funny because I was like, you got to teach me how to DJ. He's like, all right, cool. I got you.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, cool, man. I went and brought the turntable. He was like, what's up? What? He's like, shit, let's go in there and figure it out. But I spent all my money on these turntables. Like, oh, nah, why would I teach you how to be like me? That's whack. Go figure out how to be you. And that was literally my lesson of DJing. Like, I never, my partner Raj is my witness. Like, I never had a tutorial. We didn't have internet back then. Like,
right.
I'm in there messing up, figuring it out. But much to the difference of a lot of creators today, it's like, that's part of that longevity. Because I don't DJ like anyone else.
Right.
I don't do my radio show like anyone else. I don't do my mixtapes like anyone else, because I had to build my own pyramid.
Absolutely.
There was no architect plans for that.
Right.
So to be honest, I can't say that I didn't have influences, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like I was telling you, watching your own TV Raps and Rap City and everything, right. There's massive amounts of influences. But personally, no.
Wow.
Not till later on when I got to build with people, went to college, shouts to like DJ Caesar, Jelly, DJ Jelly was somebody who always picked up the phone for me, DJ Nabs, you know what I'm saying? People like that. But from the shooting in the gym phase, I had to figure it out.
Gotcha.
True story, yep.
Dope. Now, speaking about the mixtapes, I wanted to see if you guys were the originators of this new term we always say, YNs, because you had a mixtape with Migos called YRN, Young Rich Niggas. So I'm like, hold up. Were they the actual originators of YN?
Well, they definitely were the originators of YRN. I don't know where the rich got lost.
Man, listen, and rest in peace, Takeoff, man. I think the Lugos, the Migos, they
created and seized for a lot of ways.
Yes.
Fashion from, you know, they made rap groups cool again, the flow, the lingo, everything. So, yeah, a lot came from that tape.
Yeah.
A lot came from that tape, and I think that was definitely the seeds for the YN thing. I just don't understand where the R went.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Very true. Now, when we see it on you guys' podcast, Big Facts Podcast, with you throughout your career, you tended to grab artists or interview them, get insight from them before they became the big superstars.
Mm-hmm.
So you got this eye for talent that is very interesting. And I wanted to kind of get some insight from you. What are maybe two or three consistent traits in people that you see before they have the potential to be a superstar? I want to have a conversation with them. Is there anything that you see?
Yeah, the first one is being unique. You know what I'm saying? Being yourself.
Okay.
And then just watching. Like, I remember we did Glorilla right before she took off.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, Glorilla got it. Like, I don't have to hear too much music. And she got it because she's comfortable being herself. You know what I'm saying? And I could go, Big Facts does that a lot. You know what I mean? Sure. Scream has done that a lot with Heritage Radio. Like, if somebody's just being themselves and comfortable being themselves, that's really the main thing. Like, we can get into other things. Of course, you got to make good music and mm-hmm. so forth and so forth. Mm-hmm. But you got to be able to just be yourself. That's the biggest thing. Like,
right.
And then, you know, sometimes you look at a sense of, like, fashion where somebody just has a unique look.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That can help the whole thing, too. Like, man, there's something distinctively. This person stands out from everybody else. While everybody else is trying to look like other people and look the same, this person stands out. Those are the things that just, you just know, man. You just know when you see a person that is, you could use the word star, has it. I just call it the it factor. You know when somebody has it, and it don't matter if they was playing sports or music or doing a podcast, they just got it. They're going to probably be somewhat successful or successful in anything they do. They got it.
Right.
It factor.
But everybody can't recognize it. It's only certain people that have that eye.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be hard to differentiate between what's authentic and what's real.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow with you, you have a very high success rate at figuring that out.
So one quote that I live by that I saw in a Jay-Z interview is, everybody has a genius level talent. You just have to tap into what that is.
Mm.
So if you find yourself being good at something, you should continue to nurture it and get better and better and better at it. In our culture, the problem is, see, this is the thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't signed up for this. Mm. To talk to people, to be, I always thought I was going to be the guy back.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? But like I said, God has a funny way of saying, nope. Even when we started Hood Rich, it was like, we got a rap artist. This is all. We're going to make Scream big to break this rap artist. Shouts mm-hmm. to Kick. And my partner, Rip, he just had a real conversation. Like, bro, like, you're on fire. Like, you gotta get out there. You gotta start dressing different. You gotta start, like, you're the forefront right now.
Right.
Might not always be that way, but right now, it's on you.
Yeah.
Well, me, I didn't sign up for that. I want to be in the back.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that, so now you got people that are great at being in the back
mm-hmm.
that want to be in the limelight or want to be in the front.
Right.
So just understand what you're good or can be great at and just push it and flow with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. That's dope. Now, I think it's very important to nurture, you know, what you're good at, what your gifts are. And then also it can take you to different places later too. Because like you were saying, your idea was behind the scenes, but somehow it pulled you right in the front because you was nurturing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Big Facts has become like this very successful show. Can you tell us a little bit about the dynamics of that you three when you on that show? Kind of like whose role is what? Or do you even have roles?
You know, Rose is my partner Bank of a long time, my partner Jade of a long time. We just, as they're saying, kicking. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's what makes us so good, because we don't know where the conversation going to go. We don't do traditional show prep. Of course, you have mm-hmm. to know what's going on.
Right.
But we don't do the traditional show prep. It's just kind of like, everywhere we go has not been, it don't be planned.
Got it.
Like, it's like, when it go there, it's just organic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think organic conversation is where media is going. Please do preparation. Don't like not know who you're talking about.
Right.
Too. But that's what it really is, man. It's just kicking it. And Banks say all the time, like, I can't believe that we get paid to talk.
Right.
About what we do for free.
Yeah.
We would kick it and talk for free anyway.
Yeah.
So that's what it really is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. And then how do you guys build a relationship with the Black Effect Podcast Network? I know a lot of people from the outside looking in, because they just had a festival down here mm-hmm. a few weeks ago. I came down here and checked it out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real cool event. Very informative, too. Mm-hmm. So kind of how you guys developed that relationship?
I mean, I've always been a fan of Charlamagne personally.
Mm-hmm.
I was on Breakfast Club when I was signed to Atlantic MMG.
Okay.
We just did the work and they called. I mean, true story. I mean, and then people were like, did you blah, 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 blah. Nah, man, if you do the work and the timing is right, you'll get the call. But enjoy the process.
Wow.
That's so just a true story.
So it don't even have to be a whole lot of pitching going on. Like, focus on what you're doing be good at it, and opportunities will come.
Think about this. If someone calls you asking for something, mm-hmm. you treat it different than if you call them asking for something, right?
True.
That simple. That's what I always tell people. Like, just focus on the process of your journey and stop trying to make it happen when you want to make it happen. The calls will come. Man, mm-hmm. that call I got was, I honestly was thinking about going back to, like, get a master's degree.
Wow.
And then Ross called. So I'm like, maybe I run my music tenure. Maybe I need to, I don't know.
Right.
Because it's going well, but I want it to go the way I want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I should just go get more education, this, that, and the third. Ross calls. Yo, fly down. I'm signed like 4 days later.
Wow.
So it's just like, don't try to control stuff, man. Right. I try to tell people that. And again, I don't want to overdo it, but that ego says.
Yes, sir.
And I want it now. And I need it now. And this is, and I'm waiting too long. And they hate on me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But it's supposed to happen when it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, very
and,
true.
And a lot of people be in my comments and DMs like, you won't give us the real game. All right, I'm trying to put you down.
Yeah, y'all ain't listening.
Yeah, y'all not listening.
They overcomplicating it.
Upon deaf ears. True story. Yeah,
for real. I want to pivot to this segment we have in our show called Love, Loyalty, or Respect.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a relationship, and you let me know what's the most important in that relationship. Love, loyalty, or respect.
Hmm.
So, since we're talking about big facts a little bit, let me know what's the most important in you all's relationship, love, loyalty, or respect.
I definitely say it's going to be hard for me to not answer respect for all of these.
Mm.
But respect for sure. I mean, it could tie with loyalty.
Okay.
But I think it's hard not to be loyal if you have a respect for a person.
That's very true.
In my opinion. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of respect. I got a lot of respect for when you say the name Big Bank, when you say Baby J. I got a lot of respect. My brother, my sister, like, it's a lot of respect. I respect them enough to give it 110%.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I respect them enough to love them, and love means telling them the truth, good or bad.
Ooh.
And I respect them enough. Honestly, loyalty to me is like a genetic thing. It's not like something like you should be loyal. Like, I don't understand that.
Right.
Like, it's, I'm either with you or I ain't. There's mm-hmm. really too much in between. So that's the best way I can answer that one.
Yeah. And I was actually, my follow-up question going to be, what does respect look like? But when you're saying I respect them enough to let them know the good, let them know the bad, you know, of course, present it in a way that's digestible,
mm-hmm.
you know, because sometimes we can get someone bad news and being disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
That's not respect. You can tell someone you don't like something without trying to crush their feelings. You know what I'm saying?
If you're going to learn three things in an African household,
mm-hmm.
you're going to know about God.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do your schoolwork, your studies, as they call it.
Yeah.
Right. You will be diligent in your studies. Right.
Hmm.
And you're going to learn about respect.
Dope.
My pops, rest his soul, didn't play nothing about it.
Yeah.
He was a gentleman. She was going to respect him.
Right, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm so big on that, because it'll take you a long way. And it'll just take you a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that something that kind of still lives with you through your pops, even though he's not here anymore? Is that absolutely. Having that respect?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not respect. Like, people be like, oh, I got you disrespected. I'm talking about, like, really respect means that not only you respecting me, but you respecting the people I walk in with.
Yeah.
You respecting my family. It's respect. It's not, see, people get respect kind of twisted up with, like, try not to curse so much on your platform, but dick riding.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
Ain't nobody asking you to be a dick rider. What we saying is respect people. I respect, like, if I say I don't want to come in here because I don't want it to be smoke-filled.
Right.
Because I don't want to smell smoke. Respect that.
Absolutely.
You can't be like, oh, no, you're a bitch, bro. You're going to let us roll our gas.
Right.
All right, bro, you're not respecting my wishes.
Right.
Or someone can say, I don't want to come in there because it ain't enough smoke. Cool. I respect that. Cool. Let's just part ways and respect each other's wishes, and that's it.
Yeah. We can do a Zoom meeting.
We can do a Zoom. You know what I'm saying? Like, just respect people's. Yeah. And if you have a... If you have a clash, per se, mm-hmm. find a middle ground. That's yeah. still respectful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
There's people like, I be nutting up sometimes because I don't eat pork. Mm-hmm. So I don't even want that around me.
Right.
But I have to respect if you do. Mm-hmm. So I'm not talking, why? I don't want to talk about why.
Right.
I don't eat it.
Yeah.
I don't want to smell it.
Yeah, yeah, true.
So let's come to a common ground of how we can, you can enjoy consuming what you consume and mm-hmm. I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
That's all it comes down to a lot of times. It still goes back to that ego of I, me. And, mm-hmm. and then a lot of times the comments come out and then people start saying things about people and then it escalates.
Right.
So a lot of things I try to say to the younger brothers, like a lot of conflict is just based on you don't know how to have conflict resolution. Mm. That's been going on since the 90s when somebody will step on your shoe and lose their life. That's crazy. Like, it's a material item, bro.
Real crazy. You know crazy. What I'm
saying? So, yeah, you just gotta know how to handle those things, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so next one. Love, loyalty, or respect. What's the most important when it comes to your old lady, like your wife?
She would probably say love. I would probably say loyalty. But, again, it's hard not to exercise love when the respect is there. So it's another person that I respect. We respect each other. We love each other. We're loyal to each other. But without the respect,
yeah, because you can be loyal. I mean, you can love someone and be disrespectful.
Respect a man is bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
They'll say whatever. They'll do whatever. They'll tell you about yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to respect, in a union, man, the respect is so important. But again, you know, it's a woman's nature to kind of focus on love. It's emotion, right?
Right.
I love you. And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people have told people that they love them and they weren't loyal to them?
Yeah, very true.
I need you. I want love, but I need loyalty.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? So that's coming from a male's perspective. But I understand because I got sisters and everything like that too. Mm-hmm. Like that women are emotional beings and they operate. Like love is part of their fuel.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? So I get it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, you got kids?
One kid.
When it comes to the little one, love, loyalty, or respect. And how old?
Ooh, she's three. So we're still working that out. You know, I love her unconditionally.
Yeah.
I think she's getting the respect part of it.
Mm.
But at three, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would want her to, a woman, man, it's crazy. Like, a black woman, I don't think they understand, and I'm not here to preach today, but how vital that respect is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Taking you far is an understatement.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's vital for a black man or just a man or just a woman or just whatever outside of race, but that you gotta understand, like, women build men too, but you build a reputation.
For sure.
So depending on we'll just say if said a person walks in, what did we just say about Janet?
She's everybody,
oh, Janet, for real?
Yeah.
For real. You tighten up.
Right.
Now, if I'm not going to say no names, but there's people that I could have said, that you, oh, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no disrespect, but, you know, they on what they on. They probably was late.
Right.
How was that? Okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
You command your reputation is kind of synonymous with that respect.
Absolutely.
And it's just certain names that you say. Like, if I say certain names, you just do this.
Right.
If I say Michelle Obama, you...
And it's, yeah, it's crazy. You straighten up more when it comes to a woman like that than a man like that, too.
Yeah, because I'm telling you that there are powers that women have that men don't.
Right.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
That's how it comes together.
Mm-hmm.
So a woman doesn't understand all the time. Like, I'll be trying to tell people, like, let me try and tell female DJs, like, your trajectory is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I've accomplished, you have no idea. Like, you figure out DJing, it's different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a different thing. You know, the power of a praying woman. Right. We all pray. Now, woman get to praying?
Yeah, yeah. It's coming from a core of the heart that I don't know if we can tap into, or we got to get to a different elevated level to be able to get to that.
Because they create life.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
So we can say whatever we want back and forth about men, women, and equal pay, and yes, they should get equal pay and so forth, bro, but they can create life. Yeah. I can't do that.
No.
And I don't use the word can't. I watch my wife create and bring a life in this world. Mm-hmm. I can't do that.
Right, right.
They say we don't use the word can't. I am not built for that.
Right. No, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Plant seeds out here.
Yeah, we plant seeds. We great at that. We can do that. We can plant new seeds. But I'm not walking around
right
for 9 months. Nobody.
Yeah, yeah, for
and
sure.
And you have a whole different respect for a woman, even if they haven't created life, but you know that they can, or they have something in them that gives life.
Right, right.
You dig what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So the women out there, command your respect.
Indeed, indeed. And I got a 3-year-old too, man. Mm. She turned 4 end of June, so it won't be too long.
Little Gemini or Cancer?
I think she's a Cancer, June 26th.
That should be Cancer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I said Cancer got the answer because I'm one too. So.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Cancer energy. I ain't
Yeah. But, you know, just having her, though, is really just made a difference in my life, how I look at life, how much I want to work and... Because initially, I always said I wanted a son, somebody to my junior and whatnot.
That's what we say.
But when I had her, I was like, yo, this is, I had it so wrong.
The same story, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I had it wrong. Like, you thinking that you can only, your legacy can only be passed down through a son. It's so flawed. And also, we just were conditioned to think that way. Like, we are conditioned in so many wrong ways.
Speaking facts.
But I didn't break that until, you know, me just looking at her, seeing how she conduct herself, how she look at me. I'm like, yo, I had this joint wrong. I can't imagine you being no boy now.
And then the thing is, you're me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you to stop doing stuff that I do. So I'm getting checked every day. Like,
right.
Stop being stubborn. Oh, hold on.
Look in the mirror.
Oh, man, hold on. I feel weird here. Like,
yeah.
Nah, man, it's a blessing. And then I had already had a dream about a little girl. So same thing, you want a son naturally as a man, but I already knew a little girl was coming. And
you're
going to start hearing the story. She's going to have you right around her finger. She's going to run you. She's going to do this. She's going to do that.
She'll be trying. Stuff.
Yeah, but those stories is not false.
Like, yeah, no.
True story. It's crazy.
Yeah, certain way they can look at you, man, be like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, going back again, one of my older brother's favorite mixtapes was with Doe B.
Long Live.
Man, Long Live Doe B. And what his song go, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, it was just so dope. We Southern boys. I'm from Carolina, North Carolina.
Okay, salute.
But we grew up on a lot of the mixtapes that you've done and a lot of your peers as well. But, you know, even with Dobie, that happened so long ago, and it seems like these examples of him having so much talent and being taken away from us, our culture still not learning from those mistakes. What is it about our culture that still allow people to fall for these traps? Or even, I feel like we be convincing them to, man. It's kind of crazy.
You know the thing, bro? That's a very complex, when we get into these questions, it's very complex because if you look at this like 2010 and forward, and you look at, I'm going to name people. If you look at the Migos, Takeoff's
no longer here.
Yeah. Look at Doe B, when I deal with him, he's no longer here.
Look at Young Dolph, projects I deal with him, he's no longer here. My brother, Charlie Lowe, you know, that's my brother.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, honestly, Bankroll Fresh.
Dang.
In 2018, maybe 17, I sat back. I was going through the hard drive of the album I was working on that never got a chance to come out. And it just hit me. Like, it don't feel the same. Because I talked to Doe B a week before he passed. He was at my birthday party. Good brother. Shout out to Frank White. You know, he put us together. And that's when I started to... I didn't really have nobody to ask me if I was all right, but I had to start asking myself, am I all right? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this, here starts like your therapy journey and this, that, and the third. Obviously, other stuff you got to deal with too as a man.
Yeah.
But it just didn't feel the same.
Right.
And then you have a little bit of survivor's remorse, even though there's nothing you can do about, you know, when it's someone's time. Mm-hmm. So I ain't figured that one out yet.
Yeah.
I do know that a lot of the wise people in my family, you know, say don't take your gift for granted. You know what I mean? And I think that there's people that don't agree with this, but I think that we just take hip-hop culture for granted.
Oh, man, you're right.
If you look at how many people it houses and how many mouths it feeds and how many lives it saved when we just celebrated 50 years of hip-hop, if you go back to day one to now, it's like, man, don't take your yacht or that car or that house or your multiple houses and your chains. Don't take all that for granted because it'll be taken from you.
Yeah.
So I don't know where we land with that. And I honestly, that's one I don't have the answer for. Yeah. I know that there's a life cycle and, you know, this is a journey and it's a temporary journey. But I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, I mean, because this our culture is far more of those tragedies compared to like other music genres.
I did see Ryan Coogler just say on Breakfast Club that they do deal with it a lot in is it heavy metal culture or something
like that?
But a lot of it makes sense. Is like drugs instead of violence. Listen, man, as an entertainer and a creator, when you get to a certain place, and I'm not even that, like, the super top, but it is a stressful thing, you know what I'm saying? And you have to know how to deal with it. I found my way to deal with it. Like I said, I stopped myself in 2018-ish, and I'm like, am I taking this extra drink because I want to take this extra drink, or am I taking this extra drink to try to numb something? Because I had the
insight to deal with it.
Right.
Somebody might just keep numbing.
That is very
important. When you keep numbing, then it hits a point and then boom. So now you're like dealing with some real stuff because you never took time to look at.
What does it look like? So one of my first therapy sessions was to look like, wow, she was like, I couldn't imagine all my coworkers dying.
Ooh.
Tragically and violently. To the point where it's like, I told her I'll be numb.
Yeah.
I expect it.
Expected.
It's bad.
That's crazy.
It's like, yo, PNB Rock just got killed. I'm like, damn, man, PNB, that's good. Dude. Damn, I was just talking. Like, what? Man, Takeoff got killed last night. Takeoff?
Right.
He don't mess up. Like, huh? So then, like, when people wonder why, now, so you got 3-year-old. Coming to the spot? Nope. Man, you're acting funny. Be here with my daughter.
Right. You don't want your daughter to expect something to happen to you because of your job. You know what I'm saying?
And then the anxiety that my wife has when I leave her house. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, we take this shit for granted.
Yeah,
and
so true.
When you take shit for granted or when you're disobedient, then some of this stuff is a spanking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I hate the Ricos. I hate the violence. I hate all of it for my brothers.
Yeah.
But we being spanked.
Yeah. And all these trials going on right now, Diddy, who else? Tory Lanez, all this back and forth going on right now.
Spankings. Man. Hopefully we learn from the spankings and become obedient.
Right.
That's what I say, because I don't wish death, jail on nobody.
Right.
That's not who I am. But, you know, you got to understand that what were we doing when everything was good? Like, are you giving back to the community? Are you helping the young ones? Are you leading the young ones astray?
Right.
Like, what are we doing?
Absolutely.
What are we doing with we're winning the game and we're celebrating.
Right.
But are we taking care of everybody that helped us win?
Yeah.
Are we taking care of the water boy and this and that? Are we paying homage to our fans?
Right.
So we owe a lot to the people that I don't take. Like, this would be weird to me. People are like, I'm a fan of you. And I'm like, I have fans. Like, but I respect them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, all right, let me give them some motivation every Monday. I do Monday motivation.
Oh, yeah, I seen.
Let me wake up every Monday, even if I don't feel like it. And then give them some motivation to go through their week.
Right.
Let me create a foundation, the Scream Foundation, that gives back to the community so that the young brothers that want to do music, we can kind of say, okay, you want to do music, but you need to be educated and talk to these young brothers.
Right.
Let me give back. Yeah. This is, again, part of when you say consistency.
Yep.
I am blessed. I don't be like arrogant about it. I'm blessed that 20 some years later, you want to talk to me.
Right.
Right. So there's people that you probably would want to talk to 3 years ago that you don't want to talk to now. And talk about
big facts. That's no a pun blessing. Intended.
I don't take that for granted, bro.
Yeah, man, that's so true. And that's another thing where reason I really wanted to have a conversation with you. I got to be able to have this conversation with DJ Scream because I feel like you have such an important voice. Like your message is what people need to hear, especially when we're going through what we're going, the spanking that we're getting. You know what I'm saying? It's like people really need to tap into what you're talking about, what your movement is, you know, positivity, but also, you know, enjoying the culture as well. You know what I'm saying? Having that ear, having that mindset that you have is so key. And that's how people can reach the highest point. That's the meaning of our show.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely wanted to, you know, just tap in with you with that. Now, with us, you know, getting this spanking that we're getting, sometimes things get worse before it get better. Do you think that might be what's happening?
Well, I hope and pray for, again, I don't think people really sit down and do the math,
mm-hmm.
but if the rug was swept under hip-hop culture right now, then imagine we'll be back in 88. We'll have to sell crack. It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's feed a lot of people.
Right.
Your podcast, regardless, is an offspring of hip-hop culture.
Absolutely.
The clothes we have on.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? The fashion designers, the stylists, the managers, the publicists, the bag boy, the DJs, the producers, the engineers, the interns, the caterers, the jewelers, the come on, man. Mm-hmm. Like this is printing, this is an economy.
Right.
Forget just it's hip hop culture. It's an economy.
Right.
It is the economy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Very
Who
true.
Who go buy all the bottles in the club?
We do.
We do economy. So it's not just about that, but I hope and pray. Because if not, by 2028, going to look like 1988. And we Oof. Don't want 1988.
No.
I was alive.
No.
We don't want about 1988.
Now, we talked about kind of like your history, all the dope things you're doing, well, that you did. And also, we talked about the Scream Foundation a little bit. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what you see in the future? Because you're known for making these different timely moves and kind of evolving. What you have going on. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're planning on in the future? Anything you
For me now, man, I think it's to preserve legacy.
Mm.
I work really hard, man. Yeah. I work like really hard, sometimes almost to a fault. And now it's just always about positioning other people, helping people achieve their dreams, their right. goals.
Right.
That's always been what has been my vitamin, man. Like, I could have been, people that know, like I could have been ran off on everybody.
Yeah.
I could be on an island by myself and be good. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I understand purpose.
Yes.
So for me, it's just kind of like, as DJ Scream, I'm proud of where the turntables have taken me. But as DJ Scream, I'm even more proud. And I don't take credit for what they've done, but I'm even more proud of what DJ Spins has accomplished, what Swamp Izzo has accomplished, MLK, and oh man, I shouldn't have started because now I got only 15 people. But all 15, y'all.
Right.
I'm proud of them and that I could do anything, even if it's just give some game or open the door or whatever the case is. Like, that's what makes me happy. Man, I'm happy that Big Bank is a media personality.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Baby J is from a media personality.
Yeah.
Like, that makes me happy. Like, I be looking at it like, bro, you know you're a media person. What's that? I'm like, you're a journalist. I ain't no journalist. Like, nah, but he
dope, man. I like when you were talking about authentic, you can tell when you listen to him, he's authentic. Yeah. He ain't trying to be nobody else.
Yeah, and that's what it's about, man. And,
yeah.
That's what makes me happy, man. So if I could do more of that throughout the journey, man, and do my part and do it with a smile, but still let people know that I go through stuff.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I'm human. Then,
oh, cool, man. And of course, your biggest project is, you know, got a
kid now.
Ooh,
so
yeah,
I don't want to put too much more on the table and not have time to, you know, my biggest project.
Wow.
We're seed planters. Yes. So
gotta,
those are there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah, got to nurture like, it.
Yeah. That's my thing, man. So whatever spirit leads me to do, entrepreneurship is like big for me.
Oh, you
so
still got a restaurant?
The restaurant is coming.
Okay.
Any day. So that's important. Entrepreneurship, other ventures. I mean, there's entrepreneurship. There's quietly like real estate stuff. There's financial literacy stuff. There's, you know, media outside of us. We have a media network, you know what I'm saying? We're bringing in some other pods and hopefully can take them, you know what I mean, to a higher level. And that's just it, man. Just continue to kind of take it one day at a time and just as long as there's progression. But with that progression, the biggest thing I learned is like patience. So whenever it's supposed to happen, I'm cool with that. I'm at total peace with that. I'm not even talking. Like some people say stuff because it sounds good.
Right.
I don't be rushing.
Yeah.
I don't be rushing. Then set my food.
Right.
Hurry up and get my food. I'm hungry.
Right. Facts.
Other than that, I'll be cool. All
right, man. That's dope. Now I'm about to have that moment like you had with Janet. I want to ask you, you know, so since you had this experience, we appreciate you blessing us to have this moment with you. What type of advice would you give me in my podcasting media journey?
Man, have a purpose for your own. When you do media or you do anything, have a purpose for it. We miss little things because we weren't taught these things like in school. But it's like when you have a company or you have anything, you should have a mission statement. Even if it's written down, cool, but a lot of people have done, they do music or they do pies. They don't even have a, don't even know why.
Mm-hmm.
What's your podcast about? Man, we just be going up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's pretty cool. But, you know, in Big Facts, the initial conversation with me and Bank, he was like,
I don't want to do all that, like trying to get people to beef with each other. I want to heal. Right. And I'm on the same. You know I'm on the same.
Yeah.
Just Big Facts. Come speak your truth. Mm-hmm. Hope that is the truth. Maybe all the time is not, but we hope it's your truth. Mm-hmm. And unless, because you got to have difficult conversations to get to healing. Dig what I'm saying? That's what we about. So,
stay true to whatever your mission and your purpose is.
Sure.
You can't break that for no amount of money. You can't break that for no opportunity.
Mm.
You got to stay true to what that mission and that purpose is. If them your colors and you stand on them colors and them colors mean something to you,
mm-hmm.
you can't let $1 billion come in and them change them colors. These are my colors, bro.
Yeah.
You take my colors and you take what come with my production or God got me.
That's real.
And if you stay loyal to that, that billion will be 2 billion. Best I could tell you, I've been there.
Hey.
Not that I have $1 billion or $2 billion.
That's chill out.
That's context. Don't be cash after request.
That's real, man. Y'all heard it here first, man. That's he gave the game on how to reach the highest point. Definitely want to appreciate you joining us, DJ Scream. How can the people tap into what you got going on, follow you, and all that good stuff?
DJ Scream, man. All social media is www.bigfactspod.com, www.thedjscreamshow.com. Check me out on radio, your podcast, your mixtapes, your community events. We out here, man. And I appreciate you for the invite.
Yes, sir. Brother. Indeed, man. Thank you.
Much respect to y'all.
Yes, indeed. Until next time, you guys hold it down. Don't let it hold you. Peace.
The Highest Point Podcast.
More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.